see the picture yet. It might come up. you can all hear me. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Nigel, Nigel from Kettering. It's lovely to have you here presiding and smiling to us. It's great. Thank you very much. You hit on the point I was going to speak about this morning, dear brother. The violence, the everlasting killing. It's the New Testament reading. They killed the author of life. That's what they did to Jesus. They desired a murderer and killed the Prince of Life. And it's this killing, of course, that goes on today in so many respects. Now we're just going to cover some of these dreams and take us through Daniel from 3 to 5. It was the thing that I did on last week. I was on holiday. I took my grandson to listen to the Bournemouth Symphony Orchestra, who were playing in Poole. They had a terrific number of people singing, solo singers and a choir, and a very, very big choir. And when we got there at Poole, we got a little program to see what was going to be sung, and what was going to be sung was the some of Vaughan Williams' work, Ralph Vaughan Williams. He was going to sing Dona Nobis Pacem, and of course that means grant us peace, grant us peace. That's what our brother was hinting at, of course, in his prayer, that we so long for the coming of our great Lord and to bring peace to the earth. And some of these things that were sung, we're just looking at them here. It was all scripture, you see, all scripture. Grant us peace, Dona Nobis Pacem. And then we have the other things that were mentioned about in Daniel 10. O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And of course Daniel was strong in all his actions. And then we get the verses from Haggai. Sung, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, and in this place will I give peace. I will give peace in this place. And that is Haggai 2 verse 9. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. Isaiah 2 verse 4, we know the verses so well. And none shall make you afraid, neither shall the sword go through the land. Leviticus 26 verse 6. Mercy and truth shall meet together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out on the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Psalm 85, verse 10. Another one from the Psalms. Psalm 118, verse 19. Open to me the gates of righteousness, I will go through them. Then we've got finally Isaiah 66 verses 18 and 19. And it shall come to pass that I will gather the nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory, and it will set a sign among them, and they shall declare my glory among the nations. For as the new heavens and new earth, when I make, there will remain before me, so shall your seed and your name remain forever. And then the lovely verse in Luke with the angels. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to all men. Wonderful foretaste of what would come when Christ will come again. We always think about that, don't we, at his birth. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to all men. And that, of course, is Dona Nobis Passum. Grant us peace. It was wonderful to listen to that. And, of course, these things are written down for us in Daniel. When Daniel saw the image, knew what the image was, knew the interpretation of that. And we think of his wonderful, strong life. Dare to, as the four-liner is that we all, I'm sure, know, dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm. And dare to make it known. Yes, he knew things were going to happen. People would be bowing down to that image. He was going to put Daniel's friends into the fire. Not the man, was it there, the angel, looking after them. And Daniel was thrown in the den, in the den of lions. And they were so friendly, weren't they? God made them like that. So our exhortation then is the abasing of pride in that image of Daniel. The abasing of that pride. We'll take it from Daniel 2, 44, and verse 44 reads, start from some of the setting up of the dream. Now this is a dream now we have until the interpretation before the king. Verse 36, chapter 2. Now, this is the dream now, and I will tell you the interpretation. You, O king, are the king of kings, for God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And whatever the children of men dwell, or the beasts of the field, the birds of heaven, he has given them unto your hand, and has made you ruler over them all. You are this head of gold in this image that you saw. But after you there shall arise another kingdom, inferior to yours, and another, a third kingdom of bronze, shall rule over the earth. The fourth kingdom of iron, the strong iron kingdom of Rome. And these kingdoms, of course, they can't be replaced. Men today want them to be this kingdom. We need the kingdom through the whole world, etc. And there will never be that kingdom until the Lord Jesus comes. And the fourth kingdom will be strong as iron. And then, of course, the pieces that crushes the kingdoms will break in pieces. The feet and toes, potter's clay. And we know what that was, don't we? You saw this iron mixed with clay mingled. And in those days, the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It will break in pieces and consume all things. and shall stand forever, inasmuch as you saw that stone was cut out of the mountains without hands, and that it was, and they broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold. The great God has made known to the king what will come to pass. This is the dream, the interpretation of it. So, of course, that stone is the Lord Jesus Christ, the little stone that will become a great mountain and fill the whole earth with God's glory. Yes, there is that pride, isn't there? Of course, when we look forward in this image of gold, there is pride there all the time in this man, in Nebuchadnezzar and the dreams. And of course, the situation with Nebuchadnezzar is he was praising himself. He was so proud, wasn't he? So that's 44 and 45. Yes. Dream is certain and the interpretation is sure. The great God will know what will pass in the latter days. And of course, that's what will happen. And so we go on through the fiery furnace and the salvation to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The situation is going forward in the chapters that we have read, and then the lesson that Nebuchadnezzar had to learn. He learnt it in this chapter 4, on verse 30. The king spoke, saying, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built?" He was obsessed with his eyes and mys, and the dwelling by my mighty power, and for all the honour of my majesty. And the word was in the king's mouth. A voice fell from heaven. King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken. The kingdom has departed from you. They will drive you out. To men, from men, to your dwelling, and it shall be with the beasts of the field, etc. And we know what happened through that. And he came back to his senses. And what did he find? What did he find when he came back? And he learned his lesson, didn't he? Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honour the King of Heaven, all of whose works are truth, his ways of justice, and those who walk in pride, he is able to abase. My margin says humble. So with that pride we find in Scripture, God is able to abase it. But that is our lesson for this morning, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever it is, the abasing of pride. And we must, Heavenly, heed that test at all times. He resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. That's a quotation I've written down from Proverbs 3, verse 34. Yes, he gives grace to the humble. So let us be humble, my dear brethren and sisters, in our works with all our dear brethren and sisters, strangers, those that we meet, and not try to be proud. God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. And then we come to Belshazzar's feast. Here we have the pride coming out now from Belshazzar's feast. And that great feast was made for 1,000 lords. They drank wine in the presence of the thousands, tasted the wine. He took the vessels of gold and silver, verse 2 of chapter 5. The was taken from Jerusalem. They brought the golden vessels they had taken from the temple, and the king and his wives and concubines drank from them. They praised the gods of gold and silver, bronze and iron, wood and stone. In that same hour, the fingers of a man's hand appear and wrote near the lampstand. And they, we know what came out of those, don't we, my dear friends and sisters? Yes, we certainly do. Yes. Yes. Mene, mene, tekel, mefasu. That is the situation, isn't it? You can turn in our chapter, of course, and see what happened. The finger of the hand was sent to him in verse 25. Inscription read, many, many tikkun mefasin. And this is the interpretation, and Daniel gave him the interpretation. And what happened was, you have been weighed in the balance. The balance isn't found wanting. Your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Yes, that's what happened. That very night, verse 30, Belshazzar, king of the Chaldees, was slain, and Darius the Mede received the kingdom. They divided the river and got it to flow sides of the city, and the gates of the city, there was space to get under on the inside quietly while all this feasting and wantonness was going on. That very night, Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, was slain. Yes, my dear brothers and sisters, that writing was on the wall. Yeah? It's interesting to see how Daniel prayed so much and prayed and prayed to pray to God. And Daniel, in prayer, It's interesting to look at the prayers of Daniel in chapter 6 and 9. I won't read the prayers, but in the record, Daniel uses four Hebrew words for praying. He prayed four different ways. The first one is to bow down. He prayed and gave thanks. The second one is to make a petition in the prayer, praying and making supplication. And the third name for a prayer in Scripture, Daniel, is in 9 verse 20. Judge yourself, praying and confessing our sins, asking God to give us humility at all times. And the fourth word used for prayer is to offer praise. Speaking in prayer and offering praise to our Heavenly Father for caring and protecting us and watching over us at all times, and praying that we can help one another in our fellowship, and help one another wherever we can. So we come then from that, shall we say, ghastly business of being proud and haughty, and coming down to humility in our prayer. And in humility, of course, we meet together to partake of the emblems. We try to put into practice in our lives the fellowship, the comfort we have for one another, to help our brothers and sisters with their problems, and pray to God for them, to help them if they're ill. And we also now, in obedience to the commands, break bread and drink wine. With joy we do that because of what our Master and our Heavenly Father has done for us. We look towards the Lord's coming in power and glory to bring peace, to bring that wonderful peace for us. Dona nobis pacem. Grant us peace. May we have peace. To bring peace, and we'll have those wonderful words uttered by Jesus. Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. When that little stone becomes a great mountain and fills the whole earth, may we be blessed in that one.